I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Our discussion may raise some questions in your mind, and if any of the issues that you hear today sound like something you'd like to discuss with me, at the end of the show, I'll let you know how you can connect with me. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Brian Duncan. With over 12 years in the restaurant industry, Brian began his career in college, working every job from dishwasher to server. After graduating from Purdue University, Brian went on to work in food and beverage consulting, focusing on international chains and consumer products manufacturing for such companies as Hilton and Revolution Foods. During his time consulting, Brian focused on creating efficiencies by utilizing technology. Brian's background paved the way to multiple tech startups, including Chowly. Brian now serves as co-founder and board member for Chowly, Inc., and is primarily focused on business development, sales, and marketing. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I noticed when I was doing a little research on your background that you have a degree in civil engineering from Purdue University, which you received in 2005. And I was looking for some pattern of engineering and maybe how it might relate to what you're doing now. And it wasn't readily apparent to me. So I wondered, what's the connection between civil engineering and your background in the restaurant industry, particularly starting with dishwasher?
Yeah, so in all honesty, the dishwasher job was something I had to do to pay the bills in college to help kind of stay afloat like most college kids do. But while working in the restaurant industry, really grew a passion for it, enjoyed the human interaction, and made a lot of friends, too, who actually had degrees in hospitality and tourism management. But, you know, being so far along in the civil engineering field, stuck it out. Because, you know, getting in and out as fast as possible is a good way to keep those student loans down. When I finished school in civil engineering, there was a direct relation in the engineering management piece, which is on-time delivery, supply chain, and the food development and food supply chain piece. So a lot of raw materials, instead of using rocks and gravel and limestone, I switched it to corn, coffee, and pork. So that's the correlation, and found that education was still going to come in handy with my love for restaurants and food.
Sounds great. So I love the way you made the connection between rocks and corn. And once you, what was your first job out of school?
So my first job, I actually worked for a engineering consulting firm doing testing and stayed there for about 2 weeks. Didn't like sitting behind a desk, was lacking the personal interaction I really enjoyed within the hospitality industry. And then from there, began to work for a engineering consulting firm in the food industry. I got to travel a lot, help companies purchase large quantities of a product. Think of a, you know, large national chain like a Olive Garden, how much grain they have to purchase a year, and you know, using different technology, Excel and other different purchasing mechanisms to kind of develop purchasing patterns and help them get the best prices possible.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard to make a decision within the first 2 weeks that you were in the wrong place and needed to switch to something else?
You know, like I'm sure, like many of us have been involved with the security of being in the civil engineering field and working in your degree. You know, is something that I think all of our parents, loved ones, friends, and family want to see you stick with. So that change and unknown, there was a lot of people that kind of, you know, tried to talk me out of making that move. But
like, Brian, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you spent all this time in school, you're just going to throw it away. You know, but the similarities were so much. So there's so many similarities between what I'm doing now and what I was doing then, what I went to school for. So, you know, making that decision at that point in my life, still being young, there was room for mistakes and room to kind of, you know, pick the pieces up if for some reason it did fall apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. So once you moved into consulting, what were some of the ups and downs?
I think one of the biggest ups was just, you know, working with the things I really cared about and was really passionate about, which is, you know, hospitality, restaurants, food and beverage. I enjoyed meeting the people, traveling all over the world, seeing all the different places and all the new ideas. The downs were the hours, obviously. Hospitality industry, especially in the beginning, you're working 12, 18 hours a day, overnight shifts, waiting for a product to come into a large warehouse. So, you know, that's one thing that I didn't think about, but there was no time for a third switch.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And talk to me a little bit about some of the transition points that you may have faced in your career. Clearly, you dealt with one early on after 2 weeks, the kind of transition that many people will agonize over for a long time and probably not have the courage to jump. So clearly, you're somebody who has courage to jump when you feel it's right. What have been some of the other major transition points for you?
Well, I think, you know, one of my most recent ones, which was my transition from the current consulting firm where I was, you know, guaranteed my paycheck every 2 weeks, plus, you know, your bonuses and all the securities that come with corporate lifestyle, into 100%, you know, myself, my two business partner company, Chowley. You know, that was obviously a scary decision, especially now I am getting a little bit older, starting a life where people are starting to depend on me. So, you know, I guess kind of like your podcast, I just smashed that plateau and realized that I could move forward and taking that that chance and leaping into this new endeavor has never been more rewarding. Not going to lie and say there aren't scary moments, and you know, now there are other employees that depend on myself to make good decisions for everybody else. But, you know, I surround myself with awesome business partners and hire good team members, and things have been going great.
Yeah, one of the things that I've noticed about you, your background, and also what Chowley is all about is looking at an industry and clearly identifying a pain point. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what's behind that.
Yeah, so essentially this all came about myself working in the consulting industry and just seeing the repeated problems over and over again of staff members manually entering data from tech point to tech point. Very inefficient, obviously, you know, when you're entering data from one to another, there's a lot of mistypes, typos of the such. For example, people don't know that, you know, every time they order a Grubhub item, before Chowley existed, that is, every single order was manually entered into a point of sale system. So that was a huge pain point, a gap in the industry that I went out to solve with my business partners for these restaurateurs. Now the product comes in, enters into the POS automatically, and that person who was typing those orders in before has now been reallocated to a different point of the restaurant. I mean, think of it like this. Some restaurants are doing 5,000-7,000 orders a month. That's the amount of time they had to manually enter this information over and over again. It's kind of like me handing you a phone book and saying, hey, I want you just to type out the A's in this Excel spreadsheet, first name, last name, phone number. Pretty sure you go crazy after like about two pages.
Yeah, I would last maybe 5 minutes doing that. So, you know, it's interesting. I'm just reflecting on what you've just said. POS systems have been around for a while. These ordering systems like Grubhub have been around for a while. Why is it that nobody has tried to create a system like this before?
You know, like status quo, right? It's been this way. It's always going to be this way. We're just going to suffer through it. So nobody's really filed to solve the problem. I mean, these have been around since, I think, 2006, 2007. The first ordering system came out. POS, like you said, have been around since late 80s, I believe. Everybody just assumed there was no better way to do it. But, you know, luckily, with the inspiration from my team members and my business partners, we felt there was a way that a better solution. And we're willing to just take, you know, the status quo was the only answer.
And what kind of reaction have you been getting?
It's been, you know, mixed. From the restaurateurs, they love it. They think it's amazing and, you know, have solved one of their largest problems. Employees, you know, couldn't be any happier because they don't have to sit there and type these orders in anymore. But from the ordering platforms, they're still unsure of how to handle it. What change have we brought to the industry that, you know, they didn't think of before? Because obviously this is a massive shift in how restaurants are receiving orders. So they're still a little unsure of what Chowly is and how they can work with us.
Interesting. And do you think that there might be some sense of, on the part of the ordering systems, like, why didn't we create this?
Yeah, you know, I think there may be some of that in there. But I'm kind of one, the thought of mine that, you know, be a master of one trade, right? Instead of being a jack of all. So they do what they do, right? They market well. They place orders for food. Some even deliver food now. But trying to add in this other piece may not have been, you know, their primary business use. So, or their core business. So they may have thought about it, but, you know, undertaking a completely different business is difficult for a lot of people. Again, a pivot or another plateau, if you will. So, I mean, think of a car company who decides they want to build airplanes, but it's a little difficult.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. Even though they may have some of the right kind of equipment and some of the right kind of systems to do it, you're totally right. Brian, what have you found have been some of the unexpected challenges as you're creating a solution to a major industry pain point?
I think the first one has to be, you know, understanding the growth, right? The growth has been, you know, impressive to us for sure, and some of our other people who are following the company closely. And, you know, the unknown, which is always, you know, things that come up that we just hadn't thought about or didn't know about, has always been something we've worked to kind of get ahead of and do as much planning as possible so that we're able to be proactive instead of reactive. And then, you know, I think one thing that I've always prided myself on and our company, you know, that we founded, they feel the same way, is we want to make sure that we're providing the most positive and best experience for our employees as possible. So I'm a real big advocate for making sure they have what they need and are able to look forward and, you know, thrive in our work environment. So that's kind of been something that's been on my mind a lot, is how we can make this a better experience for them, too.
Mm-hmm. What's an unexpected challenge that has cropped up?
Well, I can give you two different instances. The first one being the amount of requests we're getting for POS integration. You know, we can't scale fast enough to get all of them integrated. We're bringing them on slowly but surely, but we expect it to be a slow build instead of a, you know, kind of like a drip from a faucet instead of a fire hose opening up. But we're able to handle it and getting it going. And saying from an internal standpoint, one thing that we, you know, we're all really good at our individual piece of the business. But one thing we weren't really too sure about was actually the human resources and managing our employees' needs and expectations. But again, we found some good partners outside who have provided great resources for us for that as well.
What's one piece of advice you could offer someone who is in a similar situation where they're in CEO of a startup with a new service or new product, where when you're first opening up your doors, you're really unsure of how it'll catch on, and so you're not going to be comfortable investing a lot in infrastructure because you don't know what sales will be like. But on the other hand, if sales really take off quickly, what can you do to make sure that you're able to capture the demand of the marketplace without imploding?
I think the best thing you can do is, and this might sound cliche, but take care of your employees, because they will then in turn take care of the company, right? There's been a lot of times that we've asked them to stay late, or, hey, I'm sorry, but I need you to travel this day to go visit so-and-so in Oklahoma. I know it's a weekend. And, you know, they're willing to go the extra mile for us to make sure that we're able to continue this rocket-like trajectory and growth. But, you know, in turn, we're willing to go the extra mile for them so that they know that they're appreciated, and we wouldn't be able to do this without them.
That sounds great. Now, at the same time, phenomenal growth is great, but there are always fears and frustrations that are associated with trying something new. How have you learned to address your own fears?
Well, for me, it is planning, right? The better, the more plan you have, the better strategy I have laid out is always going to be the best way to alleviate those fears. It, again, it's making us more proactive instead of reactive. We're able to, you know, account for as many variables as possible. But then outside of that, surrounding yourself with a good support system. My business partners, Justin and Sterling, are great team members, and, you know, we each have our own strengths, and they're able to just pick up the pieces when one of us drops the ball. So I think those are the two biggest keys to remaining successful.
That sounds great. And how have you been able to make sure that you're staying true to your mission as a company leader?
I think we hold each other accountable. Again, a good support system, business partners who hold each other accountable, aren't afraid to tell the other person when they are, you know, stepping away from our original goals, our original plans is important. And then also, I think taking time for yourself. Business in the startup world is exciting and great, but, you know, you have to have time to enjoy personal life, right? Because if the reason we're working is so we hopefully can build something that allows us to live the life we want to live and provide for people we care about, including our staff and family members. So just make sure you're taking time for yourself too.
Mm-hmm. And are there any tips you can offer our listeners about how to make sure that you take that time for yourself and for the people you care about?
Scheduling. That's my big thing. Use your iPhone and your iPad and all this technology out there to make sure that there are times blocked off for those loved ones and, you know, those times when you take everybody bowling, all that good stuff.
That sounds great. And looking forward, what do you dream to achieve? What's on the horizon for Brian?
I think with Chowly, I think that we are definitely poised to take our company global. We are beginning relationships and closing a few deals in Canada and UK, starting conversations in Asia. So that's definitely exciting and, you know, uncharted territory for our company, understanding what a global Chowly looks like. For Brian personally, I want to keep being the best team member and providing as much of a resource as I can for our employees. And from our customers and future customers, my goal is to, you know, seek out and have new resources and find those gaps that haven't been filled, and keep pouring in that sand in those cracks. We have a few more releases coming out that are hitting more areas in the hospitality, hotel, restaurant industry. So definitely we're going to continue to grow and move forward in that direction too.
That sounds great. Brian, what have been some of the most transformational kinds of help you've received in your own entrepreneurial journey?
You know, I'm not sure if I can say names, but Bob from POS Advice was one of the early mentors we had, and he's been in the POS industry for many years, and he actually gave us our first introductions to, I'd have to say, 20 different POS companies, which was huge. And, you know, I hope one day I'm in a position where I could pay that forward to somebody else. And then as far as advice, I think coming from the pedigree of companies I've come from, and I've always been employee-forced organizations, and you take care of your people and they'll take care of the company. And that's kind of the best advice that I think I've gotten.
That sounds great. People are our most important resource.
Yep.
I couldn't agree with you more. Brian, looking at somebody other than you and me, who do you know personally who has been successful at smashing plateaus?
You know, I have another friend of mine, outside, well, obviously the ones outside of my business partners, but I have a friend of mine, his name is Marvin, and he actually started a tech company, had been working for Career Builder for about 15 years before deciding to start a online marketing firm focused on tech and the whole tech industry, and recently was able to sell his company for a few million dollars to a private equity firm. So definitely someone who took a chance, was later in life, and was able to find reason, plan appropriately, and find good people to help him smash that plateau and move into something that he thinks is providing him a better opportunity and lifestyle.
Sounds like a great example. So speaking of tech companies, I know that you're based in Chicago, and Chicago has become a hub for startups. What do you see as being so important as being part of a hub?
Well, I think the community. There's a lot of people around that are going through similar trials and tribulations as Charlie is going through. People can relate. They understand the late hours, the time it puts into making your company successful. There's been great opportunity at 1871. They are a incubator of such in Chicago that tech startups can kind of use as a shared workspace. They provide networking opportunities. They provide classes if you want to learn different coding. It's been very, very supportive community. And, definitely being in Chicago with all that it has to offer outside of just being a tech hub, being one of the major metropolitan areas in America, has been huge for, hiring as well as meeting people who could help us grow our business.
That's great. So, Brian, for those who want to learn more about what you're up to, how can they follow you?
Yeah, the best thing to do is to go to chowleyinc.com. That's chowleyinc.com. Then I have all the information about our company on the Who Are We page. You'll be able to see everything about all of our employees, including myself, as well as the links to all of our social media pages as well.
That's great. So, Brian, good luck with everything that you're doing. Good luck with the growth. Sounds like you're in an incredible niche. And I look forward to hearing more about how things work out over the next bit of time.
David, it was a pleasure, and I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
So my guest today on Smashing the Plateau has been Brian Duncan, co-founder and board member of Chowley. Thank you again, Brian, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.